السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters at the madrasa, and those who listen over receivers. Once again, before I say anything about the night of Mi'raj, just to clear our misunderstanding, that the night of Mi'raj is not like one of the other nights which are mentioned in the Hadith Sharif as auspicious nights which come every year. We have to differentiate between the two. One is that night which comes every year, Laylatul Bara. Every year on the 15th of Shaban, it will be the night of Barat. Laylatul Qadr, every year in the month of Ramadan, one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan will be Laylatul Qadr. The two Eid nights, which are considered as auspicious nights, every year, without fail, we will have the nights of Eid. Either it will be on the 29th of Ramadan that we will see the moon. So first of Shawwal, the next day, so that night will be the night of Eid. Or if it's a 30-day fast, then on that night will be the night of Eid. The same with Eidul Adha, we will always get every year the night of Eid. So like that, there are certain nights which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala causes to repeat themselves every year without fail. And we are given the virtues of those nights and the ibadat that is to be made in those nights. With regards to days also, there are certain days which come every year. Ashura we will have every year. Eidain will have every year. So like that, these are nights which we get every year. Or some nights we get every year. But when it comes to Laylatul Mi'raj, then Laylatul Mi'raj was that night in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made Mi'raj. It is very important that we educate ourselves and we don't do something in a customary manner throughout our lives without understanding. That Laylatul Mi'raj and the virtues of or whatever happened on that in that night was that night in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went for Mi'raj. It is not a night that comes every year with those virtues and those blessings that way in that night when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went for Mi'raj. Because we gather, therefore we'll speak something about Mi'raj to refresh in our imans. So that is the difference between the night of Mi'raj and the other nights. That the night in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went for Mi'raj, that was the auspicious night, a Mubarak night, a great night, a miraculous journey that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam undertook. It was a very auspicious night. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the highest position in mankind. So therefore Allah ta'ala took him to the height that no Nabi of Allah ta'ala ever reached and no man will ever be able to reach. Nobody will be able to reach that position or that height that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reached because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him the highest position amongst mankind. If you have to take all the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, You take all the messengers of Allah Ta'ala, you take all the angels of Allah Ta'ala, you take all mankind, you take all jinn kind, you take all the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, whether it is Kaaba Sharif, whether it is Makkah Sharif, whether it is Medina Sharif, all these are the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the makhluq of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the greatest amongst all the makhluq is Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Khaliq, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, took the greatest in his makhluq in this night to the highest position, closest to him. Nobody's eyes have got that power to see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this world. You can dream of Allah Ta'ala, but that's not necessary that Allah Ta'ala is like that. That's a dream. A person sees in a dream, I saw Allah Ta'ala. So now it doesn't mean Allah Ta'ala looks like what he saw in the dream. So nobody's eyes has that power to see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this world. The only eyes which saw Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in this world was in the night of Miraj Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the status, that is the rank that he was given. He was taken above all creation because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wanted to establish this fact that he is the greatest of all the creation. La yumkinu sana kama kana haqquhu ba'da sada wazruktu hi qissa mukhtasar. We cannot do justice to your praises, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as you deserve. After Allah, you are the greatest. Qissa mukhtasar. Zulaykha, she wanted to show the women of Egypt who were taunting and who were making a mockery of her, and that way you fell in love with a slave servant of yours, because Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was brought over as a slave. So she was being taunted that he's a slave and you want to seduce him. So she arranged a party and she wanted to show the women of Egypt that how beautiful, how handsome this Yusuf is. And in that excitement when they saw Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, instead of cutting that lemon or orange or whatever they had, they cut their fingers. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to show Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the angels and to the, all his creation in the heavens that look at my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The meaning of that hadith where it is said that Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was given half the beauty of everything that is in this world. It has been explained that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had full beauty. And besides him, after that, whatever was left, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was given half. So you can imagine how handsome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was. So he was taken to that position by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the night of Mi'raj. And that is that night which was the most auspicious night, or one of the great mu'jizas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the great miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in small portion of the night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala took him above the seven heavens, and Allah ta'ala brought him to his presence. Now this story of Mi'raj, you have heard many, many times. And if we have to discuss every aspect of Mi'raj, then you require that much time also. We require that much time, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with that speed that he went, where are we going to find that speed? He went with such a speed. Now where are we going to find that speed? All the description that he gave of the different things in the heavens and the earth, and of the meeting with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and what he saw in Jannat and what he saw in Jahannam, and what happened in Masjid al-Aqsa, and all the rest of the details that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave, where do we have that kind of speed and where do we have that time? So therefore it is basically a revision, just to understand that the celebration of Mi'raj is in reality a celebration of that which happened in that night of Mi'raj. What we have been told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he saw, then when we are going to do those things that he ordered us to do and refrain and stay away from that which he ordered us to stay from, away from, then we have celebrated that Mi'raj night. Because it is not one of those nights, as I said. But that is what Mi'raj is. Now who doesn't know that? I'm not going to go into all the details tonight with regards to Mi'raj. But who doesn't know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, was taken from Hatim, brought to the was taken from the house of Umm Hani, brought to the Hatim. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, chest was opened, the heart was removed, it was filled with a liquid which was brought from the heavens by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam of Iman and Hikmah. And of course the heart was washed with the water of Zamzam, showing the greatness of the water of Zamzam. He could have brought water also from Jannat, but the water that was with which it was washed was the water of Zamzam. And with regards to all this washing of the heart and replacing of the heart and filling it with Iman and Hikmah, I explained many times in the talks on Miraj that these days science has made things extremely easy for us to understand. Those days it was impossible for them to understand that once you open a person's chest and take his heart out, then what? How can he live after that? But with all the transplants that are taking place around the world, it's no more difficult for us to understand. Although Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a miracle, it was a mu'jiza. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was a mu'jiza, it was a miracle. He wasn't taken to some hospital and then his heart was operated on, and then from there he had to go to the ICU and spend a few days there. There was no such thing. Immediate recovery of everything. So that Iman and Hikmah that was filled in, it was not that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have na'uzu billah Iman and Hikmah. It was that special liquid of Iman and Hikmah which made it possible for him to see with his naked eyes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, from there we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken on the Buraq to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now 70,000 angels had come in the company of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, according to one riwayat, to take Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam along. And who was waiting to welcome him at Masjid al-Aqsa? At Masjid al-Aqsa, the people that were waiting to welcome him were the 124,000 prophets. How Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made them present there? Now in this age of computers and technology and everything else that we see, there's so many things that we can understand scientifically. But we as Muslims, we must not wait for some scientific evidence to prove these type of things. We mustn't wait for scientific evidence. Because if we are going to wait for scientific evidence, if that evidence changes, if there is a new research that has been made, then we will say that our Iman is shaken because there's a new evidence that has come. We are believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If He has told us something and it is proved authentically from the Quran and Sunnah, then we believe in it. After that you make your research. That's another subject, but I'm not wishing to discuss that. But in any case, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 124,000 Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gave them life again. Or He made them present at that part of the night. The soul is existing. Allah Ta'ala, and then Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their bodies are not eaten up by the earth. Allah Ta'ala has made it haram on the earth to consume the body of any Nabi. Therefore, any part of the world, if it is authentically proven that there is a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that is buried there, then they will definitely be the body of that Nabi in that place. There are places in the world where they tell us that certain Nabi of Allah is buried here, certain Nabi is buried here. But we cannot say with certainty that definitely that Nabi is buried there. Although certain places like where they tell us Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam and Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and all these graves that we are shown. But with certainty we cannot say. However, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we can take qasam upon qasam upon qasam and say that where we are told that he is buried, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was buried there. Although now we must not picture him as being buried there and he's sleeping there, na'uzu billah, like a dead person. Allah Ta'ala immediately returned his life. Now we can't understand what kind of life that it is. Alam-e-barzakh, what Allah Ta'ala has done. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, these were the people that were there to welcome him. If we have the king of a country or the president of the country or some governor general of some country, when he goes to visit somewhere and the newspapers, the media, they all highlight the President of America, the President of Britain, the Prime Minister of Britain, or the president of Pakistan or somebody else is coming. Now, thousands of people will turn out. Now, who are those people and what do they do in that welcoming? They'll be dancing, they'll be singing, and they'll be screaming, and they'll be shouting, and somebody will be drinking, and somebody will be taking daha, and somebody will be taking drugs, and somebody will be on a high. All kinds of people you will get. And there will be people who are committing zina amongst them, and people who are committing fraud amongst them, and there will be people who are committing all kinds of sins and vices amongst them. They will be welcoming this president. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala arranged for his welcome 124,000 nabis, each and every one a nabi of Allah ta'ala, that means masoom and sinless, sinless, completely sinless, pure. Imagine they are welcoming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as he arrives in Masjid al-Aqsa, then what happens is that straight away they are making the saf straight. Or Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he gives the azan. In our masajid, our muazzins give azan. And for that occasion, now look at this occasion of Miraj, that for that occasion, the one who is calling out the azan is Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, teaching us a lesson that we must not look down upon those who are calling out the azan. We consider that as a menial job, as a kind of a job that those people do who got nothing else to do. It is calling towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a da'wat ila Allah. It is a great honor which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses those muazzins with. Of course, they have to maintain their dignity too. So as a Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he didn't say, I'm an angel of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I must call out the azan. He called out the azan. And then they're waiting for somebody to lead the congregation. So as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam takes his hand and puts him onto the musalla to show the ummah that he is the most superior. He is the one above all the nabis of Allah ta'ala also. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him a position higher than all the nabis. He became the imam of all the anbiya. So this was something that happened there. There is one riwayat in where Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, he was trying to convince Heraclius. At that time Abu Sufyan had not accepted Islam. But he went to the Roman emperor and he was trying to convince him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'uzu billah, is a liar, is not a prophet, is an imposter and all those kind of things. So one of the things that he mentioned amongst all the other things was that this prophet or this person who claims that he is a prophet, he says that in a short part of the night he was taken above the seven heavens and he went to Allah and he came back from Makkah Sharif to Masjid al-Aqsa. If we have to go, it takes us 2 months. And he went through all this journey in a short part of the night. So how can we believe that? And he says he made namaz in Masjid al-Aqsa. So at that time there was one priest who was there also. So he said, yes, yes, I remember that night. He said, how can you remember that night? What do you know about that night? He says, I was in charge of closing the doors of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, we know that had gates and had doors. He says, I was in charge of that. And on that particular night, I tried my level best to close that door, but it just wouldn't close. We brought the carpenters in at that part of the night also to close it after the evening prayers, whatever was to be prayed. Then he said, but it couldn't close. It was as if the whole building weight was on that door. And in the morning I saw a huge stone there in which there had been a hole that was made, and it seemed as if there was some camel or some animal that had been tied there. So he said, that was the night. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made him give that evidence. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact about Masjid al-Aqsa afterwards, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this is what happened in that night, so the kuffar, the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, they began asking him questions. How many windows were there in that masjid? How many doors were there? How many beams were there? Now if a person comes to this masjid all his life also, and we ask him how many fans in this masjid, will he ever know? Unless that person had nothing to do, instead of reading tasbih, he was counting fans. He thought, why read tasbih? Rather count fans, yeah, it's better. If you had nothing to do, then we can say, like some people, they go to masjid, and they're counting safs, how many safs there, how many fans there, how many windows there. So the person who comes to the masjid, he comes for salat. Where is he worried about all those things? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala put Masjid al-Aqsa in front of him. And he says that I was looking at Masjid al-Aqsa and I was replying to their questions. Now all this time, those whose heads were and brains were damaged by shaitan and nafs. So they didn't want to accept this. But in this age of television, now we say, yes, it's possible, it's possible. Something that's happening million miles away, but on the television screen, the person can see everything. So if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who gave man that intelligence to come up with that chip, if he gives man that intelligence, we think Allah ta'ala doesn't have the technology that he brought Masjid Aqsa's picture right in front of him so that he could count and tell them whatever they were asking. So Masjid Aqsa, from there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the Miraj was brought. Miraj is from Uruj, to go up. And Miraj is lift. How we stand on the lift and press a button and you go up. So that is what the Miraj was. It was a lift that was brought. One step of that was of gold and the other step was of silver. And the whole thing was made of rubies. That was the lift that Allah Ta'ala sent to call Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up. Now, I'm not going through all the details, but according to some riwayat, where he saw all those incidents when before going up, Allah Ta'ala showed it to him, that this is what happens to the people in the fire of Jahannam, or in the qabr after they die, if they committed these type of sins. And those things I have discussed many times, but just to go through it quickly again, because that is Miraj, that if we restrain ourselves, we stay away from those sins that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, which were the cause of these major problems, then we will say that we have understood what Miraj is. But if we just gather, we just listen to some bayan, waz, and then we go and sleep and do the same things again the next day, then it shows that we haven't understood Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's status, rank and position, and whatever he has said. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that I saw, or was shown, and some say that he was shown all these things in the fire of Jahannam. But he says, I was shown that a person was there, he was on the ground, a huge boulder or stone was taken, and his head was crushed, and that stone rolls down, and by the time that stone is picked up again by that angel, then this person's head comes back in its original position. So Nabi, and he goes on like that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Hazrat Jibreel that who is this person? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, this is from your ummah, though that person or those people that will be of this category, whose heads used to become very, very heavy at the time of salat. When the time for salat, then the heads used to become very heavy. So he said his head used to become very heavy at the time of salat, meaning that he used to find it extremely difficult to make salat, to perform namaz. That they found very difficult. Everything else was easy. They can stay awake the whole night. But to tell them to get up Fajr namaz time and come and make namaz with Jamaat in the masjid if possible, then that time their heads became very heavy. It weighed heavily on the pillow. They were not prepared to get up and make Salat. Or Zuhur time it went in the business. Asr time in the business. Maghrib time in supper. And Isha time watching television. So they had no time. The heads became very heavy. So he said, this is the punishment. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that he saw that there were two pots. One had very, very well cooked, delicious, full of aroma, beautiful meat. And the other pot was stinking, filthy, dirty meat. Terrible stench was coming out from there. But some people were being forced, they had to eat, and they were eating all that was filthy and dirty. The meat which was rotting, the meat which was decaying, they were eating that, and they were not eating that which was clean and pure. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he queried that who are these people, he was told that these are the people who leave the halal, and they go towards haram. So much of halal Allah Ta'ala has given, they leave the halal, and they go towards haram. And another riwayat, that these are the people who commit zina, that Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with halal wives, but instead of those halal wives, they go to those places of sin and they commit zina, they commit adultery. So this is their punishment. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sees, or is shown, that some people, their lips are blown huge like the camel's humps, and then burning embers are put into the mouth, thrust down their throats by the angel. And it comes out from the back, and the thing carries on, and they're screaming and wailing and shouting. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked that, oh Jibreel, who are these people? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that these are the people who used to take the properties of orphans and devour it. It's not a plaything to devour the properties of orphans. We think that the orphans are little children generally. They don't know what is happening. We have been made trustees of that estate. We are owning the building which belongs to those orphans because their father passed away. Now lifelong we will pay rental which will be what we call peanuts, and yet our own properties we will let it out and rent it out at huge rentals. But just because we are trustees, everything is in our control, we think that what will these children really know? And by the time they grow up, there's nothing left there. So on Qiyamah day, this is what is going to happen. Then the person is trying to pick up bundles of wood or piles, and it is loading on his head and it is bringing him right down, but he's still trying to load and is being pressed under the weight of that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, these are those people that they cannot do justice to the amanats that they handle, but they go on taking the amanat of people. There are many people, they will go on collecting lifelong donations of all kind, sadqa, fitra, lillah, qurbani skin and qurbani monies, and so many other different kinds of donations for tsunamis and donation for flood waters here and there, and donation for this and donation for that. We'll go on collecting and collecting. But they will not be able to fulfill the rights of that amanat. They will not do justice to that amanat. They will be misusing the funds, misappropriating the funds. Talking about general, there will be many people like that in the world, and they are. There are so many collectors that are coming, and we find out that they were bogus ones. One person collected monies from here, huge amounts. And he said he's collecting for a madrasa and masjid in one of the villages in India. One person got carried away, and then he gave a big amount, looking at the plans and looking at the person that brought him for the collection. And after some time, when he went to visit that place, instead of a masjid and madrasa, there was a huge house that the principal had built. So he asked him, he said, but you were collecting money for the masjid, madrasa, there's no sign of masjid, madrasa still, I see your big house has come up here. He said, how do you expect the principal to teach if he doesn't have a big house? If he doesn't have a house to live in, how do you expect him to teach in the madrasa? So first I have to build my house, after that I'm going to do the rest of it. And just find out from the jamiyats and the other people who do some investigations that how many bogus collectors come. How many? And they take our names when they go also. That I'm just coming from Maulana and he has sent me and he has recommended. Whereas I say very clearly that I don't send anybody to anybody. If I want to send anybody, I will tell you. So if anyone comes to any business house and takes my name, you must believe that it is not the truth. I'm not saying that all are like that, and we have to give their madrasas, masjid, and monies and donations required for many, many things. But unfortunately, it has become business for many people. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what he saw. This is what was happening to such kind of people. Then he saw people whose stomachs had blown to huge sizes, and they were like snakes floating in the stomachs. You could see from the outside, and that weight was bringing them down. And the animals were trampling upon them. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked that, who are these people? He told that these are the people who used to devour interest, they used to take interest. Interest and usury, which has become so common. There are so many people that have been taking interest. Some of them they did not know too that they were taking interest in the past, they didn't know. They used to tell their family members, you got 50,000, you got 100,000, okay, give it to me, invest it in my business. Every month I will give you 10%. Now what kind of an investment is that every month he gets 10% on that amount? Whether the business goes higher or the business collapses, whatever happens, but he gives him that 10%. If some month he made tremendous amount of profit, then he won't say that we have first of all find out that this 100,000 that I'm giving is an investment, that how much investment is it? It's a 5% investment, 10% investment. And that investment will be in the profits, or in the business, all those things have to be cleared. Now that's again a different issue. But what I'm trying to get across is that many a times we devour interest and we don't even know about it. And of course now some people have given the fatwas, you get all kinds of fatwas, that all bank interest is halal and jais. From the bank, all interest, irrespective of which bank, Barclays Bank or Standard Bank or Ned Bank or any bank, the interest is halal. For the Muslims of this country, the interest is halal. Now imagine with that kind of fatwa. I was in one town recently, I won't mention the name and the place, but that man tells me, Maulana, the person came to me, and I respect him because he's of a certain family, and also the person is so-called learned. Now he tells me, he says that, you know, your mother, she is sick, she is not well, and hospital costs are quite exorbitant nowadays, so you mustn't worry because you got millions in your accounts and they accumulate interest. For your mother's treatment, you must use from that interest. I'm giving you the fatwa because it's halal, it's permissible. Now these are the types of fatwas that we get. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this weight of that interest, this is what is doing to you. There is a long this discussion and bahas about what is Darul Harb and not Darul Harb. But we must not just fall hook, line and sinker for these type of fatwas. Because imagine the consequences of taking interest. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown that people from the side of their bodies, flesh was cut and they were fed that same flesh. He said, Ya Jibreel, who are these people? He said, these are the people who make ghibat all the time. They're gossiping about people. So their own flesh was being cut and put into their mouths and told them, now eat. You are eating the flesh of your dead brother, now eat this. Now this ghibat, which has become a big joke for all of us. Even the pious and the righteous also, they don't draw the line because sometimes it borders on ghibat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what was the consequence of their ghibat. People whose lips were being cut with scissors of fire, said these are the people who used to sway the crowds and create fitna and mischief with their tongues, in their speeches and in their talks. We know in political rallies and all other kinds of programs these days, in conferences and other places, there are people who have been given the gift of the gab, and the way they speak, that they sway the crowd and they make them shout, down with so and so and down with so and so, and then they create fitnas and mischief. Or the wa'izin of the ummah, that they were misleading the people. So many, many things like that he was shown. So what does that mean? And especially for our youth, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was shown. A terrible, horrible smell was coming out of one well. And in there were all kinds of young people. And then he was also shown that there were two pots, as we spoke about halal and haram, that they were eating from the haram and they were not going towards the halal, and all so many other kinds of punishment. So he was told that these are the young people of your ummah, the youth of your ummah, who dress up in fashionable clothes. We will call it fashionable clothes or designer garments in our days. But he said that they will be dressing up in fashionable garments. For what purpose? They will not be dressing neatly and nicely so that it is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, must make shukr and wear good clothes. They will be wearing it so that they may go and seduce the girls. They may go and look attractive to the girls. And he was shown a similar thing for the women folk. And he said that this was also, they were dressing for what reason? To go and show the boys. So celebration of Miraj will mean that we stay away from all these type of things that we are celebrating Miraj and we are understanding. And of course, on the other hand, Islam is balanced. It's not that only khawf and fear of azab of akhirat. Allah Ta'ala is not there only to punish. Allah Ta'ala does not want to punish. Therefore he showed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam what ni'mats he has got in Jannat. The flowing rivers of milk, of honey, and sharab and tahura, and all the palaces, and all the hoors of Jannat, and all the gold and silver and silk, and all the other bounties of Jannat. Ma la aynun ra'at wala uzunun samiat wala khatara ala qalbi bashar. Now all that is prepared for whom? For the righteous and the pious. And righteousness and piety does not mean that the person stands up in sajda, in namaz, and prays the whole night, every night, or fasts every day of his life. That is what we think is piety. piety is staying away from those things that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased with. And the fulfillment of the rights of Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and of mankind, that is piety. And that is not difficult, that is practical, that is easy. Now we don't want to go into all the other details of Miraj, but we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was given different modes of transport in this night of Miraj. One was from Masjid-e-Haram to Masjid-e-Aqsa, that was on the Buraq. From Masjid-e-Aqsa, the lift was brought and that was up to the first heaven. And from there onwards on the wing of the angel and until he was brought to Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha, from there onwards, as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, I cannot even move one inch further than this, one hair breadth if I move further, I will burn to ash. So from there the raf-raf was brought, a green carriage. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I was taken through 70,000 veils of noor. Imagine what kind of noor that must be. And then as soon as he arrives and brought into the presence of Allah, he says, I prostrate before Allah, I go into sajda. And he makes hamd of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he says, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tawayyibat. All my oral, physical and monetary ibadat is for none but Allah ta'ala. I've discussed this at length in one of the majlis also. That everything solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. My namaz for Allah, my hajj for Allah, my zakat for Allah, my charities for Allah, my talking with a smile and cheer with my wife, with my children and with my friends for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. My assisting and helping my neighbor, my friends, the society, anybody that's sick and weak and deserving only for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure. So when he did everything for Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in reply said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, O my Nabi, and the rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the mercy and the barakat and blessings of Allah Ta'ala be upon you. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his love for the ummat, how he loved us, no matter how sinful we may be, no matter how long after him we may come, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not want to see anyone go into Jahannam, into the fire of hell, and suffer the azab of Jahannam. That is how he loved us. Allah Ta'ala also loves us, and he wants us to go to Jannah. So when the child is being warned that don't go near this fire, it's going to burn, don't put your hand here, it's going to burn, or don't go near the certain animal, it's going to bite. So it doesn't mean that the father or that mother hates that child. That's why he's warning that don't go here, don't go there. It is out of that love that we are told that these are the things that will cause you harm, so don't go near it. Otherwise, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the moment he was told that salamati, peace from Allah Ta'ala, his rahmat and his barakat, everything for you, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, no, not only for me. How can I forget my Bilal, who is being whipped and punished and tortured and persecuted? How can I forget Suhaib Rup? How can I forget all the other companions of mine who are going through so much of hardships and trials, and all those who will keep coming till the day of Qiyamah, who will have to suffer for the sake of this deen? And every ummati of mine. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, As-salamu alayka. When he is told, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Peace be upon us and all the righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala. So the bottom line is this, that there is no way that we can have peace in our lives, in our homes, in our society, in our nation, in our country. There just cannot be peace, no matter how many conferences we have on peace, no matter how much of seminars we have on peace and unity and happiness. But it's not going to happen until we become righteous servants of Allah Ta'ala. That is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's condition. That, O Allah, send down your mercy, send down your barakat and blessings, send down your help, your nusrat, send down your kindness, O Allah, send down all your blessings and all your mercy. But to whom? To those who are your righteous servants. Those who will obey you, those who will believe in you, those who will believe in a day of judgment, those who will refrain and stay away from all those things that are haram and that are prohibited. Then when they become righteous servants, then on them must be salamati. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. So in this ibadillahi salihin is righteousness. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, all the angels or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Allah ta'ala loved this so much that in the namaz of ours every day that we read this at-tahiyyat. So with regards to the Mi'raj, it is well known that this is what happened in the night of Mi'raj and so many other things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave description of. With regards to Masjid al-Aqsa, we know that at present it is under the subjugation of the Jews, the Zionists. And every day there's literature on what is happening in Jerusalem. And all these gimmicks of dismantling those settlements and everything that is happening. As if something great has been done, that they dismantled those settlements. If they had left it behind for those people whose homes were bulldozed, then at least we would have said that something they left behind. In the first place, they had captured or they had conquered or they had occupied the lands of these Palestinians. Then they put up the settlements there. And now when they are leaving it after so many years, and that too they were not leaving it very happily and willingly. They were forced to leave because they saw what is happening. So at that time, instead of leaving it behind, because when one young person threw one stone at some army truck, then they came with a bulldozer and bulldozed 3-4 homes together with that child's home. I saw with my own eyes in one home, 40 people were living, 40 people, believe me. Why? Because they said at that time I could only see bulldozers all around. That was in the heydays of the bulldozing. 40 people were in that home. They said, why? Because every time that one home is bulldozed, those 8-10 children and the husband and the wife, they come to the neighbor's house. Then they bulldoze that home, now where must they go? So all of them go to the other house. So like that. Now, so if they had left those settlements, then we would have said at least they left behind a few buildings, although it wouldn't have been doing justice. So all these gimmicks and everything will carry on. But there again, we have to understand that Allah Ta'ala's help is with those who are pious and righteous, irrespective of where they are. But if we are not going to have salat in our lives, we're not going to have zakat and hajj in our lives, we're not going to have honesty and truthful in our lives, if our youth are going to drink and gamble and commit adultery and fornication, and even our old people, and if we are going to watch all the filth on the television and the movie, and we're going to go to the cinemas and discos and theaters, if we're going to carry on like that, then no matter how much we pray and the whole world prays, but Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy will not come. And especially if we become frustrated and we do injustice upon someone else, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy will be even more delayed. If we are going to do injustice because we were persecuted or tortured, now we do injustice of some kind. We go to some other country and just blow up a bus of innocent people and then say because they killed our children, we're killing their children. If we do injustices of this sort, then Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will be even more delayed. We must do the right thing and then believe that Allah Ta'ala has got such qudrat that He can shake that whole ground on which the enemy forces are. Allah Ta'ala has got the qudrat. Look at this one storm, this hurricane Katrina that they talk about. What damage it has done. Billions of dollars of damage. It's not that we are happy of what is happening. But the thing is, millions of people without lights, without water, exactly the same thing they did in Afghanistan when they were dropping bombs upon bombs, daisy bomb, this bomb, that bomb. They did the same thing in Iraq. People were left without water, electricity. Millions of people were homeless. They were walking with their little bit of food and someone blanket and crossing the mountains. When we saw those conditions, at that time everybody was sitting back and relaxed that their government was doing a wonderful thing. So if we do the right thing and then we leave it to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will do the same thing that He did in the battle of Badr, He did in the battle of Khandaq. You think Allah Ta'ala has gone weak? But no, we want to become emotional and then we support those injustices, then we get Allah Ta'ala's rahmat also delayed. Whereas this is what we have to do. We do the right thing and fight the soldiers, fight the people on the battlefield, fight the military, fight the army. In whichever way they are fighting against you, you also fight against them. But don't do injustice. If we're not going to do injustice, Allah Ta'ala's madad and help will come, and sooner or later we'll see that the same thing will happen in their land. We don't have to take bombs and go and throw there too. Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. But of course, as I said, that we are all extremely weak too. We mustn't put ourselves in the bracket of those pious and righteous ones. So many people are dreaming of tsunamis in South Africa recently. I reply to a lot of dreams. So we will say, okay, because they are reading in the newspapers or listening to tsunami, so it could be just a reflection of that. We will give them some atabir and interpretation. But what stops it happening in our country? What stops it happening? Will any force of the world be able to prevent it? Where are our youth? 80% where they are. Leave the youth, where are our old people? Do we get the old people in the masajid 100%? I'm not talking about those who are sick and weak and cannot make it. I'm talking about the 60s and 50s. Where are they? Go to the clubhouses, go to the cinemas, theaters, discos, you'll find them there too. And the youth are there. So we are indulging in the same kinds of sins. We know that our homes have become cinemas on earth. We don't have to go to the cinemas anymore. Those people who used to make tawbah, tawbah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, if their child went to the cinema and came back. Those same people are sitting with those same children and watching all the filth. Yesterday one lady phones and she says, Maulana, my daughter got married into a home where I don't know what to do, because she says that the husband, the father, the mother and everybody sits and they even watch porn films together. What do I do? So let us not take the mercy of Allah Ta'ala for granted at all times. Allah Ta'ala is very kind to us. He has kept us in good condition. But the charities and whatever we are doing is helping us. But we must not think that these things cannot happen in our country. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. There's so much else that we can speak on Miraj and all that, but I conclude now with just one or two things about Salat. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, masoom, sinless, the greatest after Allah Ta'ala. Pure, clean, there's no question of any kind of sin. Yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is sometimes making ishraq, sometimes making charge, sometimes making the namazes after maghrib, sometimes he's making tahajjud. Now all these were optional salat. Slight wind blows, he goes to the masjid, and until it doesn't subside, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in salat. If the clouds are dark, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in the masjid, is making salat. Any difficulty, any hardship, anything that he's seeing could be a problem for the ummah, straight away salat, salat, salat. As far as the five times salat is concerned, even the munafiqeen, the hypocrites in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they too didn't have the guts to stay away from the masjid. Because if the person stayed away from the masjid, either he was sick, or he was a munafiq, or he was on safar. So even they didn't have the courage to do that. There was no question of missing the five times salat. I'm talking about all the optional salats. Now here we are not even making the five times salat. So let us introduce at least into our lives this Miraj that we are, or this year, the five times salat, which was the greatest gift that Allah Ta'ala gave to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for his ummah. That will be the Miraj of the ummah, as salatu mirajul mu'mineen. We take salat for granted. And especially those people who don't make salat, when they say that what happens with salat? Only salat is not sufficient. We need all the other activities. Indeed, we agree that only salat is not sufficient. But who can say that is the person who is making salat. But generally, this statement is made by those people who don't make salat. They don't make salat, so they say that. Just to justify their not making salat, that we are activists. They are activists. They are actively not making salat. What else are they activists? One bogus peer sahab, he was not making salat. When they asked him to make salat, he says, I make my salat in Kaaba Sharif. He eats here, he drinks here, he sleeps here, but he says he makes his salat in Kaaba Sharif. You get a lot of these bogus peers in India, Pakistan, plenty of them, we've seen some of them. And yet you'll get murids also. The more stupid the person is, the more he will have to. So and they will give him all kinds of gifts. So he says, no, I make my salat in Kaaba Sharif. The moment I close my eyes, I'm there in Kaaba Sharif. You all must make your salat here, but I make it there. He was lazy, doesn't make salat. So one person thought of an idea to teach him a lesson. So he gave him invitation. He said that, I want to invite you for lunch or supper. So he gave him an invitation. And he says that I've got lots of things prepared and I would really love if you come and have your meals with me. So this Pir Sahib went there. Now when he went there, the host dished out and kept on eating. He didn't give him to eat and not offering him to. So the Pir Sahib tells him that, how can you be so crude and rude? You invited me and you keeping all the food by yourself and you eating, not giving me to eat. Pass the dish here, let me dish out also. He said, no, Hazrat, aap to Kaaba Sharif mein namaz padte hai, to khana bhi wahi kha lijiye. You make namaz in Kaaba Sharif. So he said, I'm sure after the namaz, somebody must have given you dawat there. All the way Kaaba Sharif you go and they don't give you dawat, so you must have got dawat there. So eat your food there too. So even the Pir Sahibs don't make salat. What kind of a peer that must be? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now if we only speak on salat itself, then we can carry on whole night. But inshallah, tomorrow is Jumu'ah. So for some time now we haven't spoken on salat. If Allah ta'ala gives the opportunity, tomorrow something on salat. But in any case, let us make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He gives us the tawfiq of making amal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was really, he dearly loved the ummah. So we must show our love for him too, to do that which is pleasing to him. It's a Thursday night and we normally have our zikr program, so we're not having the whole program. Don't get worried now that I'll keep you here till Fajr time. But just 5 minutes, we'll just make Allah Allah and then we'll make our dua. अल्लाह अल्लाह कैसा प्यारा नाम है आशिकों का मीना और जाम है अल्लाह अल्लाह कैसा प्यारा नाम है आशिकों का मीना और जाम है अल्लाह अल्लाह कैसा प्यारा नाम है आशिकों का मीना और जाम है Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah, 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 Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahu Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Dil ko agar chamkana ho to kar lo zikre illallah, illallah, illallah. Dil ko agar chamkana ho to kar lo zikre illallah, illallah, illallah. سوچو ذرا فرعون کے گھر میں موسیٰ کو پالا کس نے غور کرو مچھلی کے شکم میں یونس کو رکھا کس نے پہلے آگ میں ڈالا پھر آگ کو پھول کیا کس نے ان کے نام کی گنگاتے ہیں ابراہیم خلیل اللہ illallah 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 Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim اللهم ربنا يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين O my beloved Allah, O my Rahim Allah, O my Kareem Allah, O my most forgiving Allah, O my most compassionate, loving, caring Allah, O my most beautiful Allah, O my most tolerant Allah, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Ghaffar al-Zunub, Khuda. Forgive each and every one of us. Oh my beloved Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners when they turn towards you with repentance. We are ashamed of the sins that we have committed in our lives. My beloved Allah, we are not bragging about our sins. We are not justifying our sins. We are indeed the most sinful ones on the surface of this earth. You could have shaken the earth and all of us could have been swallowed up. You could have sent gale force winds against us. You could have sent fire against us. Oh Allah, you could have destroyed us in many different ways. But how loving you are, how caring you are, how compassionate you are, how forgiving you are. In spite of all our sins, you are giving us so much to eat and so much to drink and so much to wear. And modes of transport to travel around, my beloved Allah. We cannot do justice to making shukr of the ni'mats that you have given us. Oh my beloved Allah, we acknowledge all our sins. We are confessing before you. My beloved Allah, don't seize us on account of our sins. Ya Allah, you dearly love forgiveness of the sins. Whoever turns towards you with repentance, you dearly love that person. Especially if that person is a young person, fit, healthy, everything going for him. When he turns towards you with repentance, when he expresses shame, when he sheds tears of remorse and regret over the sins that he has committed, and he wants to come yours, then, O Allah, you dearly love that young person. My beloved Allah, such a large crowd of young people amongst us, they have raised their hands before you. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. My beloved Allah, forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. My beloved Allah, there was no question of darkness for you. Even if there is a tiny little black ant crawling on a pitch black rock in the darkest of all nights, you are aware of the movement of that ant. My Allah, your Qudrat and your power we cannot understand. Ya Allah, don't seize us on account of our sins. Ya Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, our family members, and forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had such love for his ummah, oh my Allah, that he did not even forget us in the night of Miraj. Ya Allah, at that height, above your arsh, ha, my Allah, how much love he had for us. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from that which is displeasing to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the realization that in your disobedience and in sins there will be nothing but restlessness, anxieties, worries, arguments, fights, quarrels and problems. Ya Allah, give us the understanding that in obedience to you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be unity amongst the ummah, unity in the family, unity between husbands and wives. There will be peace, there will be harmony, there will be success in both this world and in the akhirat. Oh my beloved Allah, put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Put the hatred of sins into our hearts. Give us the realization that death can come suddenly. Oh my beloved Allah, daily we are reading of thousands of people leaving suddenly from the surface of this earth, to return no more. Oh my Allah, and how many young, fit, healthy people with everything going for them, flashy cars, cell phones, plenty of money. Oh my beloved Allah, in drugs, in rave clubs, in discos, cinemas, and suddenly they gone from this world. Shooting, murder, earthquakes, flood waters, and they gone from the surface of this earth. My beloved Allah, we don't know when our death can come. We don't know when the angel of death will strike the sword and remove the soul from our lives. Our lives are in your control, our hearts in your control, our sight in your control, our speech in your control, our hearing in your control, our wealth and properties in your control, the ground on which we walk is in your control. My beloved Allah, give us the realization that in disobedience we are only harming ourselves. Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours. Give us some taste of that closeness of yours. Give us a taste of Iman, my Allah. Give us a taste. Give us the sweetness of your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that we distance ourselves from adultery, from fornication, from drugs, from drinks and from all other vices and evils. My Allah, become ours and make us yours. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Oh my Allah, if you are not ours, nothing will be ours. Nothing will work in our favor. If you are ours, then everything will be ours. Become ours and make us yours. Koi mujhse puche main kya mangta hu, pe apne khuda se khuda mangta. وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا. May Allah become ours and make us yours. Ya Allah, when the angel of death will visit, he will not give any warning. When the soul leaves our bodies, may Allah, we will be given mayyad ghusl. We will be moved backwards and forwards, right and left. Our tongues will be able to wag no more. Our hands will be able to touch no more the haram. Our lips will be able to kiss no more those haram women. our feet will be able to walk no more towards those discos and cinemas and theaters and rave clubs and haram. My Allah, we will be helpless. The water of mayyat will be poured. If our clothes were tight-fitting, they will be sliced with the scissors. Our glasses will be removed. Our teeth, false teeth, will be removed. Our expensive watches and the jewelry of the women, everything will be removed. Nothing. After the mayyat water has been poured, we'll be given garment of kafan. Ya Allah, before that day comes in our lives, let us put the water of tawbah above our hearts. And let us put the garment of taqwa above our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, don't let any embarrassment, shame, humiliation and disgrace come upon us. Oh my beloved Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, rave club, popping drugs in our mouth, bottle of wine in our hands, or in adultery or in fornication. Oh my Allah, protect us and protect the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are sick and ailing, whether they are amongst us, they are at the madrasa, or they are in the homes, or in the clinics, or in the hospitals. Oh my beloved Allah, so many of our family members, friends, relatives, and the ummats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are sick and ailing. Give everyone complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases. We know that sometimes it can be a rahmat and a blessing in disguise. But we are extremely weak, so don't test us with sicknesses, diseases, ill health, poverty, weakness. Oh my beloved Allah, give us complete shifa from our spiritual ailments and physical ailments. Our hearts are diseased spiritually also, my Allah. Clean and purify our hearts of envy, jealousy, malice, pride, greed, anger, evil passions and desires. Oh my Allah, what have we made of our hearts? We have made dirt bins of our hearts. Ya Allah, clean and purify our hearts. Protect us from stealing, gambling, corruption and all kinds of sins. Give us the tawfiq to pray 5 times a day. Oh my beloved Allah, protect us from all kinds of azab and sin. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, give the children the tawfiq to obey the parents, to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to obey you. Oh my Allah, those who are in depression, give them joy and happiness. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are poverty stricken, give them wealth. Remove all the sicknesses and diseases that have engulfed mankind, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, AIDS and so many kinds of diseases around the world, in our country and all over the world, my beloved Allah. Somewhere floods, somewhere earthquakes, somewhere, oh my Allah, fire raising homes, and somewhere gale force winds destroying. My beloved Allah, disasters all over. Protect us from all kinds of disasters. And those who are stricken with disasters, Ya Allah, give them comfort, give them ease, remove their difficulties and hardships and problems. Give hidayah to the entire mankind, make everyone worthy of entry into Jannah. But those who have become stubborn, arrogant, they have made up their minds, they will never accept Islam and they will continue with persecution, torture, tyranny, oppression and bulldozing of homes of innocent and taking the lives and throwing their missiles and bombs upon those innocent ones. Then, my Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Send gale force winds against them. Oh, my Allah, show them what your power and your strength and your qudrat is. Oh, my Allah, create division amongst their ranks. Cause the planes to crash. Cause the ships to sink. My beloved Allah, make us all yours and become ours. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Those who are in search of marriage partners, give them compatible, pious, righteous marriage partners who will be an assistance to their deen. Oh my beloved Allah, each and every one who has raised his or her hand this part of the night before you, you are well aware of the desires, the aspirations, the intentions that are in their hearts. Ya Allah, whatever good wishes and good aspirations that they have in their hearts, fulfill those good wishes and good intentions. It is all in your hand, oh my beloved Allah. Those students of ours who are studying, bless them with success in their studies. Make them assets for our communities. Ya Allah, give them an environment that is conducive to the practicing of Islam. We are being lashed by fitnas from all sides. Fitnas from our right, from our left, from above us and beneath us. Ya Allah, protect us from all fitnas. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, barakat in our lives, barakat in our time, barakat in our wealth, barakat in every bounty of yours. Save us from taking interest and giving interest. Save us from devouring the properties of orphans and widows and children. Oh my beloved Allah, give us halal rizq in abundance, my Allah. Ya Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made duas for us. Ya Allah, we all have to leave this world one day. There's no question of remaining here forever. When the time of our death comes, oh my beloved Allah, take us to Madina Tayyiba. At the Rawza Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulullah on our lips, let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, all his life he made duas for us. How much he begged for us. How much he asked for us. Especially in Hajjatul Wida, my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his 124,000 companions, the duas that he made after kissing the Hajar Aswad, the duas that he made in the Matab, the duas that he made under the Mizab-e Rahmat, what he begged for us in the Hatim, and what he begged for us at the Multazam, and what he asked for us behind the Maqam-e Ibrahim, and what he asked for us after drinking Zamzam, and the duas that he made on Safa and Marwa, and the duas that he made in Mina, Muzdalifa and Arafat. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless our wives and children and parents with that goodness. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Protect the Haramain Sharifain. Protect Masjid Aqsa. Oh my beloved Allah, protect our masajid, our madaris. Oh Allah, protect our khanqas. Protect the work of Dawat and Tabligh. Protect the work of all our anjumans, associations and organizations. Oh my beloved Allah, give us all ikhlas and sincerity in the deeni khidmat that we are rendering. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ya Allah, those who have lost their parents, wives, children, brothers, sisters, family members, and in the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whosoever has passed away, fill their graves with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.